I have been thinking about it really only here in the past 6 months or so, as I had to once again start reporting on shootings and violence that just really started to affect me emotionally. And I was starting to be able to get past it, and it was becoming easier for me to do my job, but at the expense of becoming less and less connected to that story, to whatever story I was covering. I was beginning to get numb as I was reporting on murder and violence and domestic violence, and I didn't want to continue to lose what I thought was, you know, who I was, my humanity. And so I knew that I couldn't stay doing what I was doing in local news, but I didn't want to leave this area because this area has given me so much strength and support, and I want to make sure that I do whatever I can to give back to them because they've given me so much. So what could I do where I stay in Southwest Virginia and still try to help people? And after a long thought process, I believe that being an elected official and running a campaign seems to be a great thing, not just for me, but I hope for the people of the New River Valley.
Okay. And I know that when you did return back to WDBJ, you mentioned that Allison would have wanted you to come back. What do you think she would say about your decision to leave and start this new chapter?
I think that she would say, right on, go for it. Very proud of you, and I love you. And I still love her, too. And it's a different kind of love than what we shared together while she was alive. But she was a fighter.
Yeah.
And she was someone who achieved things that people didn't think that she could achieve, whether it was in a ballet or being an all-district swimmer or going to the governor's school and then going on to James Madison and being so successful in college and then in her career in North Carolina and at WDBJ. You know, she was able to achieve so much because she had an incredible work ethic and a sustained level of effort. And she was a fighter. She wasn't going to let anyone tell her that what she was doing wasn't possible. And this is something that a lot of people might dream of trying to attempt, but they're in comfortable positions. And I was in a comfortable position, too. And I really think that what we need now with our representatives in Richmond are people who are willing to do uncomfortable things and sacrifice for the people that they're going to represent. And I think she would be incredibly supportive of that.
Okay, great. And Allison's father, Andy Parker, before the tragedy, he did run in 2007 and lost, and then afterwards he did get back into politics. Has he offered you any insight on the campaign? Are you guys working together at all?
He is someone that I love very much. I talk to him as another father figure, as a big brother, as an uncle, you know, whatever you kind of want to identify him as. He's part of my family now, and so is Barbara, and so is Allison's brother, Drew. I talk to them very frequently. When it comes to me being a candidate, his main advice is to be me and to let Allison guide the way. But you look at anybody who is running for office and anybody that you would want to vote for, you want to see, are they genuine? Do they know the issues? Have they been a part of the community? And are they someone who is going to maintain their convictions even when the going gets tough? And that's certainly somebody that I am, and is somebody that Allison was, and anybody who is friends or family of both of us, they all have very strong convictions.
Okay, and Andrew Schultz, he's the other Democrat candidate. At this point, do you know how the primaries are going to work? Is there going to be a mass meeting, firehouse
primary?
Yeah,
the process is not really up to me. Mm-hmm. And the farther I stay away from the selection process, I think the better, because it doesn't really affect me too much in terms of what I want to do, which is to, I think, inspire people to get active in their communities and want to help not only identifying the problems that we face, but also coming up with the solutions. And that's something that I'm really excited about with this change from journalism. I'll still have an investigative mindset. I'll still have that reporter's knack for being a good observer and for asking the right questions. But instead of just telling you, here's the problem, I want to be able to say, I know how to create a solution, and I'm going to do it for you. And whatever the process is for selecting the nominee is going to be what it's going to be, and I welcome it.
We're talking to former WDBJ7 anchor Chris Hurst, who is now a Democratic candidate for the House of Delegates in the 12th District. So you're not concerned at all about maybe Andrew Schultz splitting the vote with you or anything like that?
Oh, well, for a primary, as we're selecting the nominee, it's going to just be Democrats talking to each other and choosing amongst Democrats. I think it's wonderful that certainly now, as we see that there has been tremendous upheaval, not only in our political system, but in our society, nationally and locally, that the response from so many people has not been, I'm going to tune everything out. I'm going to find a way to get involved. And if somebody wants to get involved like I am by becoming a candidate themselves, I think that's a great thing.
Okay. And you said that you've wanted to tackle a wide range of issues, from education funding to giving back to businesses. Do you want to elaborate a little bit more about how you plan to do that?
Yeah, let's talk about education, because we still have not been able to achieve the level of state funding for our higher education and our localities from where we were before the recession. And that cannot continue. You look at the amount that the state pays for necessary, essential education, and it continues to go down and down and down, and localities don't know what to do. And we have some systemic problems that are facing our schools right now, like we need to have every single school in Virginia that has air conditioning and heating in it, central heating. And we don't have that right now. So we have schools that I've reported on that have had to close because it's either too hot or too cold, and that doesn't make any sense. So the state needs to pick up the slack on that. And with economic development, I used to have the opinion that what we really needed was those big, huge, large employers to come back and restore what the Virginia economy was a generation ago. And that simply is not going to be possible. That's not the new dynamic. So how can we take the incredible knowledge at Radford University and Virginia Tech and incentivize the students to be bold and foster new ideas with startup companies or work with some of the already developed small businesses there in the New River Valley and incentivize them not only to work on those big ideas that could be great economic drivers, but how can we make sure that those students stay after they graduate and stay in the New River Valley and become a lasting part of this community?
Okay. And I think a lot of people expect you to address gun control in this campaign, and I don't think people realize that you are a gun owner yourself, as you said.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm a gun owner. My family has guns. Allison's family has guns. Allison has gone to the range, as have I. You know, my brother has taught me how to shoot everything from a 45 to an AR-15, and there was a time when I used to really enjoy that. I still like the idea of maybe going skeet or trap shooting once again, because I really enjoy that. I still have a bit of a mental hang-up of picking a gun up again, knowing that the power that that has went into Allison multiple times. But I have already seen people try to fix this label of running on a gun control ticket, and that's not it at all. You know, no matter the tool that was used to kill Allison and Adam, what I am trying to do is turn tragedy into triumph the best way that I know how. So not only am I doing this for her, but I'm trying to do this for the entire region that gave me so much when I needed it the most. And I do think that there is a lot to work on in Virginia to make sure that our most vulnerable populations, men and women who are subject to domestic violence, men and women of color in urban communities who are dying every single day from gun violence, and then people who have easy access to firearms so that they're able to take their own life. All I'm interested in is saving lives. The last thing I would ever want to do is try to go around and tell people, I don't like your culture. I don't think you should be able to continue to live your life the way you've grown up.
Yeah, and going back to you being painted with that label, I think just the topic alone of gun control is very polarizing. So what do you intend to do to facilitate a more cohesive dialogue about it?
Well, what I think we need across all levels of government and politics is more adults in the room. And I have no problem having a conversation with somebody who is completely against anything that I might stand for, even after a thorough explanation of the kind of objective pragmatism that I hope to bring to that issue. I can remember instances in the past year and a half of talking with people who you would think on the outside would not be receptive at all to what I was talking about. But if you just listen to them and are able to understand where they're coming from and do more listening than talking, I really think that we have a lot more common ground than people think.
We're talking to former WDBJ7 anchor Chris Hurst, who is now a Democratic candidate for the House of Delegates in the 12th District. The House of Delegates currently has a Republican majority, and in the past, any proposals for stricter gun laws has not been successful. Why do you think that is? How do you intend to change that? Do you want?
Well, clearly the reason why moderate, logical proposals to reduce gun violence don't get through the General Assembly in Richmond is because of the power of the gun lobby and the NRA, who is only interested in making more money for themselves and has zero interest in protecting the fundamental right of being able to live your life without the fear of being murdered on the street. I really think, though, that there is some positive work that can be done that has already been done. Look at last year's compromise, where both sides came together to institute a new law that would say that for people who have been issued permanent protective orders against them, there will now be an ability to remove firearms out of their home. That it's not just you can't buy a gun, it's you can't possess a gun either. But that's only for temporary protective orders, and it can take months for someone who's in fear of their life to get to that point, to get to a protective order against someone they believe is dangerous. So I believe that there is still common ground to be had over expanding the possession prohibition to not only a temporary protective orders, but also emergency protective orders.
Great. Okay. And I wanted to talk a little bit of about Republican candidate Joseph Yost. So he's held the position for the past three terms, and in 2015, he won by 58%. Born and raised, lifelong resident of Giles County, went to Radford University, award-winning politician. What makes you the better candidate?
Well, you've given some pretty good bona fides for my opponent. And I know Joseph, and Joseph and I have been friendly over the years as we've worked together on mental health issues. You know, he's award-winning, but so am I. I've been awarded Media Person of the Year by the National Alliance on Mental Illness because mental illness is in my family. So I care about that issue personally. And after we had the tragedy with Creed Eads and his son Gus, they assigned mental health to me at WDBJ as a beat. So I've reported on many different mental health stories up until here in January and February of this year, and also including a half-hour documentary on our public mental health system. Where I think that I have the biggest difference and where I think we need the change is we need a strong fighter, that we don't have just an advocate in name only. For someone to be able to go to Richmond and be able to build a coalition of people who are willing to rally behind the big issues, because we still have a lot of problems facing our public mental health system with access and expanded services for Medicaid so that we can have true mental health coverage parity with other types of health care. We need someone who's going to be a fighter, and I promise to be a fighter for the New River Valley and all of Southwest Virginia.
Okay. Let's see. Is there anything specific you think Yost is not doing or doing wrong? Do you not think he is a fighter?
Well, sure. You look at where he stands on some of the firearms issues, and we know that the most susceptible people to gun deaths are people who kill themselves with a gun, because it is the most efficient tool with which to do that. And 2/3 of all people who die by a gun are from suicide. So you would think that someone who is a proponent of mental health advocacy and trying to save lives and trying to help people who might be susceptible to suicide would want to do everything they could to save those lives, and it just hasn't happened yet. But I also think he chose the Republican Party line on economic development issues, on education issues, on budgetary issues. So I really think that what we need is a different voice. We need a new voice. We need a strong voice for the New River Valley.
We're talking to former WDBJ7 anchor Chris Hurst, who is now a Democratic candidate for the House of Delegates in the 12th District. Now, the Twitter account for Giles County Republican Committee tweeted that your only familiarity with the district was your journalism coverage. Do you have a counter argument? And why the 12th District?
Well, I needed someplace different from the routine that I had in the Roanoke Valley. I have loved living in Roanoke and will still visit Roanoke, just as many people live in Smith County, but they have moved to Craig County, or people were born and raised in Lynchburg, but then moved to Blacksburg. This idea that we're going to treat every little area like its own little kingdom, to me, just doesn't match up, because look at all of our families in this area, and people may be born and raised in one area, but then go to live and raise their other family in another area. Blacksburg is a wonderful place to live, and God willing, I would like to be able to start a family one day, and I can't think of any place better to do it than Blacksburg in the New River Valley, and I needed a change of scenery, and I really think that this whole process is going to really benefit the people of the New River Valley, but also it's going to help me emotionally. Anyone who wants to call me a carpetbagger, it can go ahead and press their luck, but you talk to the people of this region, and they know that I have been there, I've been in their living rooms, I've been out in the community before, people have seen me, and I certainly plan over these next few months to be out there listening to people all across the 12th District.
Okay. And I did see that it looked like you were close to raising almost $10,000, and you did raise the $4,000 within the first 4 hours of putting your side up. So congratulations on that. What's going to happen next between now and Election Day? What's coming up for you?
Oh, well, hey, you know, we're going to be running, I think, an aggressive, grassroots, inclusive campaign where we don't just put up silos and focus on who we need to focus on in order to win. We want to be as inclusive and diverse as we possibly can, because the New River Valley is a very diverse area between Blacksburg and Montgomery County and Radford, Pulaski, and Giles County. And I love that, because I have really tried to spend my entire career and my life being welcoming to all sorts of different people. So this campaign will be energetic. We'll have a lot of enthusiasm about it. We're going to work harder than I know I've ever worked for anything before, and so there will be fundraising, of course, because that's something that's part of a campaign, but a lot of it is just I want to listen to what people really want out of their elected officials in Richmond and then earn their trust to know that I won't compromise on my convictions and I will always have their back.
Okay. Where can people go for more information, maybe for volunteering or donating?
Right. So my campaign website is hurstfordelegate.com. I am working on putting up issue positions right now, but I really wanted to take some time to, again, have more of a journalistic mindset of trying to get as much information and talk to as many people as I can before I decide what I think might be the right policies for Richmond, because as hard as it is for some maybe to believe, as I've been reporting on all of these stories, I've tried extremely hard not to develop my own opinions on them. So that's going to be a little bit of an adjustment, but I'm excited to try to craft the solutions to these issues, not just highlight what the problems are. So I'm going to make sure that I'm very diligent and when it comes to figuring out exactly what I think would be best for the people of the 12th District.
Okay, and I just have one more question. If it doesn't work out, do you have a plan B? What are you going to be up to?
Well, I've already had to figure out what my plan B is because the plan that I had in place in my life was taken away from me. And that's not unique to me. That has happened to many people in this area. And so we've all been faced with this question of what are we going to do for a plan B? And I certainly haven't had as much life experience as so many others, but a lot of times you got to find a plan C and a plan D, and you just got to figure it out. There are some things that I might want to do. There are some people that have reached out to me already with some gracious offers, I'm not really worried about what I'm going to have to do if this isn't successful, because I know that that God's going to put something in front of me and give me another path that I can walk down. But I want to make sure that I maintain my own freedom to choose my own way. And this is the way forward for me right now.